More cuts are in. James Outman still looking good. World Baseball Classic's rolling on. Chris Taylor struggling. Are we worried? That's what's on tap, so make sure you keep it locked on Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Ultimate Baseball GM. Ever dreamed of becoming an MLB GM and managing your baseball franchise? Then this game is definitely for you. To download the game, just visit ultimatebaseballgm.com or look it up on the App Store. Our listeners get 100% free boost to their franchise when using the promo Locked On with all caps in the game. Ultimate Baseball GM. Today, this is the podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. We can find us wherever you find podcasts and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers and subscribing to those places and never miss a day because you know we're not going to. If this is your first time listening or watching, I'm Vince Amperio, and I usually have a co-host, Jeff Snyder, or usually in the season. I guess in off-season it's not as usual, but either way, I'm rolling solo today, and Jeff and I are both lifelong Dodger fans that cover the team and have spent a lot of time at Dodger Stadium in our lives and continue to cover the team. And we're here to bring the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue every Monday through Friday for about 30 minutes. So that's what I'm here to do today. If you see, obviously, a different setup behind me, I'm in Arizona for the World Baseball Classic for my real job. And yeah, so if the audio is a little off, it's because I had a pack for 2 weeks. So I wasn't able to fit in my mic. I wasn't able to fit in, you know, if the lighting's a little off, I wasn't able to fit in my light. So we're on a makeshift right now, but we're here. I'm here to talk about Dodgers and give you guys what I can give for these 30 minutes. So that's what we're going to get into today real quick. We'll start off with just some World Baseball Classic talk. If you haven't been watching the pool play in Taiwan and Japan is over. So in those rounds, Japan's going to play Italy and Cuba is going to play Australia. And the winners of those two games will come to Miami to participate in the semifinals. In Arizona, Team USA is 2-1 now. And everyone else is either 1-1 or 1-2 in that round. So there's still a lot to be played out there. And then in Miami, Venezuela's 2-0. And then it basically is going to come down to Puerto Rico and Dominican playing that final day to see who advances there. So a lot of fun baseball going around. Dodger-wise, the Dodgers have been doing pretty well. David Peralta had 3 RBI for Venezuela on their win over the Dominican. Will Smith homered in a losing effort to Mexico. Julio Diaz went 5 innings, gave up 3 runs in a loss to Colombia for Mexico. Austin Barnes has a few hits. And I believe Freddie Freeman has a few hits for Canada. So if you're a Dodger and you're participating in the World Baseball Classic, it's been pretty good. Will Smith has had a little bit of an interesting last couple of days. It was social media saw this interaction between Randy Rosarena from Team Mexico and Will Smith, and it looked like Rosarena went to dap him up. And it was weird because, like, Will Smith didn't dap him up, but it looked like he told him something. So whatever the case was, they asked Randy Rosarena about it after. He said, yeah, you know, I knew Will Smith from playing the minors. I wanted to dap him up. He didn't really give me anything back. He's like, what am I going to do, cry about it? He's like, I gave him 2 doubles, and Rosarena did have 2 doubles that day. So Will Smith's, I don't know if he turned off his comments yet, but his latest Instagram post was full of a lot of fans from Mexico giving him some stuff about that. So, yeah, I don't know. We haven't heard from him about it, and I don't know if we will, but just an interesting little thing there. That's where it's at for World Baseball Classic. So if you're not watching, I would highly recommend watching. There's been a lot of good games, and especially now as these pool plays wrap up, there's going to be some good games, and then you're going to get into the semis, the quarters and semis. And it's just some fun watching some meaningful baseball here in March. Meanwhile, on the Dodgers side, they made the next round of cuts for spring camp. So Diego Cartaya, Michael Busch, Jordan Vivas, Eddie Leonard, Johnny DeLuca, Andy Páez were all optioned to minor league camp. Matt Andrees, Bobby Miller, and Jamai Jones were assigned to minor league camp. No real surprises here. And again, if you're sent to minor league camp or if you're optioned, that doesn't mean you're not going to play in spring training games. It just means that you're not going to be on the opening day roster, barring any last minute changes. So not a big deal. Cartayas, they're going to get some time at catcher, especially if both Barnes and Will Smith's team advance to the next round for World Baseball Classic. Michael Busch was coming off a three-hit day and then got optioned, so probably weird timing, but it was most likely planned ahead of time anyways. But yeah, either way, that's all to kind of say that the roster, at least on the offensive side of the ball, is essentially there. And, you know, really the only question now is James Outman or Yanni Hernandez. You're down to, I believe, 13 position players in camp on the roster. And then Jason Hayward. Jason Hayward all but been said that he's going to be on the opening day roster. So then it's, you know, comes down to Yanni Hernandez and James Outman. Outman, the legend of James Outman continues to grow. He was on the backfield participating in some live batting practice and was homering off all Dodger relievers that were back there. Daniel Hudson, who was back there, one of the guys back there, he joked that, you know, I'm coming off my knee injury, coming off my ankle thing, trying to get some work in, and I have to face Babe Ruth, referring to James Outman as Babe Ruth. He also homered against Caleb Ferguson and one other Dodgers reliever. So maybe not the best sign for Dodgers relievers, but a good sign for James Outman. And Hayward struggled the last, you know, week or so. I think he's like one for his last 16. Chris Taylor, who we're going to get into a little bit later, he struggled the entire spring so far. So, you know, based on performance, Outman has earned not only a role on this opening day roster, but possibly a starting role in the outfield. Still remains to be seen if that's what's going to happen, just because, you know, there's a lot of different factors that go into it. But all signs point to James Outman earning, you know, doing exactly what he needed to do in order to work his way onto the roster and ultimately doing what he needed to become the Dodgers center fielder. You know, a lot of articles and even us talking kind of mention Outman, you know, for sure by the end of the year, he could be the Dodgers everyday center fielder, but maybe not start the year, just based on, you know, they need to see what they're going to get from Chris Taylor, Trace Thompson. Oh, yeah, Trace Thompson's done well for Great Britain as well offensively. But Trace Thompson and Jason Hayward. But, you know, realistically, like I mentioned before, Jason Hayward is a veteran. He knows where he's at. I don't think he's going to be upset if he's not an everyday player. You know, Peralta already knows. I mean, not that Outman hits from the different side of the play, but Peralta knows, you know, he's not going to play every single day. You know, Trace Thompson also knows, you know, he's not going to play every single day. So there's a spot there for Outman. You know, I think the Dodgers, I know they may be hesitant because, you know, they're already starting Vargas every day, and that's going to be two rookies in the starting lineup. But just because he's a rookie doesn't mean he won't be, you know, productive. And just because Hayward and Thompson and some of these other guys aren't rookies doesn't mean they will be productive. You know, it's just a matter of who's hitting and who's not. So there's not a lot left on the offensive side for him to do. It's just going to be a matter of, do they trust him to be an everyday type player, or do they, you know, believe he can start the year in the minors and get those everyday at bats until they figure out or see what the veterans on the roster already can bring. So yeah, there's, like I said, there's not much for him to do, but we'll see. If he does end up being optioned, I can see the outroar, and I can understand the uproar. We're just going to have to wait and see if that happens. So, all right, we're going to get into some Chris Taylor talk. He's struggled so far this spring. Are we worried? Should we be worried? And does this mean the Dodgers might have him in not a different role to start off or to start the season, but maybe a lesser role? That's what's on tap, so make sure you keep it locked on Dodgers. I'm really excited by our new partner and sponsor of today's episode, the mobile game Ultimate Baseball GM. If you've ever dreamed of being an MLB GM and managing your professional baseball franchise, well, your dream has come true and this game is definitely for you. And if you're someone like me, who I'm not much of a gamer, and even back when I used to play video games, it was only sports games. And even when I was playing those sports games, you know, MLB The Show or MVP Baseball back in the day, or even Madden, I'm not one to play the games most of the time. I was one that wanted to build a team, build a squad, give myself a challenge, you know, take on those teams with the low payrolls and try to, you know, make them into a contender. And Ultimate Baseball GM gets you all that right there on your mobile phone. You can manage every strategic aspect of your team, play through the season, and lead your team to glory. Hire the right coaches and staff, manage team finances, scouting, drafting, managing difficult personalities, navigating your franchise through free agency and all the ups and downs of the season. All this in a challenging and realistic game world. And it's all free. Ultimate Baseball GM is completely free. You can play offline and go and play on the go when you want, as you want. And yeah, you don't need Wi-Fi. You can play it easy. Go check it out right now. Ultimate Baseball GM. Go build your squad. Right now, Locked On Dodgers listeners get 100% free boost to their franchise when using the promo Locked On, that's all caps, in the game store. So make sure to check it out. To download the game, just visit probaseballgm.com. Scan the code right here on the screen if you're watching on YouTube, or look it up in the app stores. That's probaseballgm.com. Ultimate Baseball GM, start your dynasty today. All right, so Chris Taylor, as we know, struggled last year, striking out an exorbitant amount of times. And so far this spring, he's cut down on strikeouts, but is still not very productive at the plate. He has just 3 hits and 26 at-bats so far, striking out 10 times in those 26 at-bats. And yeah, he is striking out at a higher rate, drawing just 5 walks. And, you know, for Taylor, his swing is, like I said, we know it's like always got to be working on it, always got to be tuning it. And if it's not all the way 100% in sync, then it's, you know, off and not going to be good. And it got me thinking, and especially in the terms of like James Outman. So, you know, Dodgers, we know Chris Taylor's going to play some center, probably going to play some left, and going to play some short, and then maybe occasional, you know, spot starts at third base. But knowing that, and knowing how he's hitting, and knowing just, you know, the dynamics of everything else, I was wondering if the Dodgers maybe, you know, how they're going to attack this Chris Taylor thing. Are they going to throw him out there and hope that he figures it out? And then once he figures it out, it's like, okay. Or are they taking what he's doing so far in spring and based on what other guys are doing and having more success and say, you know what, let's scale back the Chris Taylor at-bats until he gets it going. And then once he gets it going, we can, you know, decide then in order to get guys like James Outman at-bats, if that's what they want to do, if they want to put him on the roster and play him, you know, mostly every day, then somebody's at-bats are going to have to suffer. And Chris Taylor would be one of those guys. When it comes down to it, because even Miguel Rojas is having a very strong offensive spring, and you know, as long as he's not hurt, even though he's a little older, yeah, he'll need some days off here and there, sure. But you know, realistically, Miguel Rojas has been used to being an everyday player for the last few years, and I'm sure that he's in shape and built for it. So I don't know which way the Dodgers are going to go in terms of Taylor. You know, it's like I said, sink or swim type deal. Are they going to throw him in there and see what he does, or are they going to scale back based on the fact that they have people that are better hitters right now? And when it comes down to Taylor, you know, it's hard because he's always been such a streaky hitter. Like I said, based on when you reinvent your swing, a lot of pieces have to go right. And there's a lot of different mechanical things that you're dealing with in order to get that back right. And when you're completely healthy, or at least that's what we've been told with Taylor, and you're still struggling to figure it out, it's, you know, the thing with the Dodgers is they're not going to realistically probably won't be in the position they've been in for a lot of these 10 years on this run, is have that, you know, string, have that leash, and for some guys to figure it out. You know, we've seen guys like, you know, Cody Bellinger. We've seen guys like Chris Taylor in the past. We've seen different guys get these long leashes in order to kind of figure out their swing, just because the Dodgers are expecting to win the division, already so far ahead of the division, or, you know, generally just one of the best teams in baseball. This year, that they still are, you know, likely going to be one of the best teams in baseball in terms of record and all that kind of stuff. But realistically, they are going to be competing with the Padres from day one in terms of the division. They are going to be competing with some other teams in the National League just for a playoff spot, if that's what it comes down to. And they don't necessarily have the luxury of being able to give Chris Taylor 3 months worth of starts if he's still striking out over 30% of the time and not performing well. Now, also, the flip side is if the rest of the offense is doing well and Chris Taylor's the one spot or one or two spots that aren't, then it's okay because they're still getting run production. Chris Taylor's still going to be good defensively regardless of how he's hitting, and it's still going to work out that way. But it's not an ideal situation, and like I said, you got to kind of figure out early on what you want to do. And I think that's kind of the biggest question is, okay, is Chris Taylor's role going to be reduced to start the year? Then yes, James Outman, you're on the roster and you're playing pretty much every day and you're taking those ABs that maybe Chris Taylor would have got. And that's fine. And, you know, that's not an issue because, like I said, Chris Taylor, it doesn't necessarily mean more at-bats is more times finding faster time finding a swing. Now, Chris, Dave Roberts did kind of mention, you know, Tim and JD Martinez both struggling so far this offseason. But, you know, Roberts said that, or maybe Roberts was talking about how, like, there's still the adjustment period. He said with CT or JD, there's a lot to the swing. You still got to face live pitching, and there's an adjustment period. That's what spring training is for. When it comes down to Chris Taylor specifically, he said he knows how much we value contact, and I'm going to continue to monitor things. But right now, I'm going to let the process with Chris and the hitting coaches play out. I have no problem betting on the player, on the person. Like I said, they haven't had that problem before, although albeit in maybe some different times. Chris Taylor, for the most part, has been a guy you can bet on. At the very least, he can get hot and carry a team, carry an offense for a little bit. We've seen him do it in the playoffs. We've seen him do it in the regular season. You know, we've seen what it looks like when he's right. But now for, you know, a year and change now, we've seen what it looks like when it's not going right. And it's not fun to watch, and it's not ideal for the Dodgers. So, you know, I really hope he figures it out soon. And it might be a matter of at-bats. You know, it might be, hey, I'm working on my swing. I need 80 to 100 at-bats. You know, spring, you're not going to get 80 to 100 at-bats. You're going to get probably, you know, 50 to 60, 75 range. You know, maybe more than that. And maybe, you know, or maybe, you know, I don't know. There's just things where, like, when you tinker with your swing, you can make adjustments. But if you make an adjustment, that could set you back another week or so. And now you know, you need to catch up on that because you need to make sure you're implementing this new adjustment. And there's a lot to it. All that being said, we know what's going to happen. I don't believe they're going to, you know, take away any playing time from Taylor, at least initially. They'll put him out there wherever they need him, whether it's short, third, left, center, wherever the case. And they're going to hope he's going to hit. And they're going to hope everyone else is hitting. And then you don't have to worry about it. You know, Mookie Betts hitting pretty well right now in the World Baseball Classic. Freddie was hitting well in the spring, still hitting well, World Baseball Classic. Like, everyone else that's supposed to be there in the starting lineup has been having a somewhat strong offensive showing, or stronger or normal. Chris Taylor being that one guy. And Chris Taylor, like I said, not guaranteed to be a guy. But at the very least, you know, if Taylor's playing a spot and he's not good, the Dodgers have had that in the past couple years with center field specifically, of someone in that spot that's not hitting very well or not hitting league average. So they can get by, but they need everyone else to step up in that case. And, you know, if Dave Roberts has been on the player, that doesn't mean, oh, we should bet on the player. But let Chris Taylor figure it out. And if not, the Dodgers have capable guys behind him, or at least guys that don't strike out 35% of the time. They, at the very least, they'll make a little bit more contact. So we'll take that. That's it on Chris Taylor talk. You know, we'll see what happens with him, but we're hoping for good things. Miguel Rojas, one of the guys I mentioned, hitting well this spring. He's really found his way into the Dodgers and into the organization and fit well. And We're going to get into some of the stuff about him and what he's been for the Dodgers so far. But first, we're going to talk about FanDuel Sportsbook, because today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook. With NBA season wrapping up, MLB season coming up, it's a perfect time to get in with FanDuel, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from money line to point scores and threes drained. You can also make more money or have a chance at more money with same-game parlays, where you can combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout. Combine those player props. You know, how many points will so-and-so score? Will he score more than, you know, this? Will he have more rebounds than this? Will he have more assists than this? They have exclusive bets all the time, like the 2x3, 2 3-pointers in the first 3 minutes. So go check out FanDuel Sportsbook. Download the app. It's easy to use. And don't miss your chance for the no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. All right, let's finish up with some Miguel Rojas talk. Miguel Rojas had a pretty good spring so far. He's hitting very well, hitting over 300, slugging over 500. Obviously, the defense, we already know, he continued to have, you know, strong defense. He made a couple plays against the Cubs the other day that were, you know, really good, going to his right, going to his left, diving. He's good on defense. And if he can contribute anything offensively, that's obviously a bonus. But not only is he contributing that, he's contributing where we thought he would contribute in terms of, you know, being a clubhouse leader, veteran presence, all those words and cliches. And Rojas, you know, talked about that a little bit. He said, "I knew what to expect when I walked in, actually fitting in with the club and what they've been doing for the last several years had me pretty excited. Being here in camp and being able to contribute and make them feel comfortable, even when something bad happened to them, I want them to feel that they got a guy that can plug in at shortstop and play every day." And yeah, like, he's obviously been impressive offensively, impressive defensively. You know, he's a guy that the Dodgers can realistically count on this season in terms of being an above average player, even if that above average player means above average defense and league average offense. Anything more than that is pretty much, you know, with the Gavin Lux injury, anything more than that is you know, just icing on the cake. But the one thing with Rojas is he's a guy that doesn't strike out a lot. We know that the new rules with the shift. And with that being said, that, you know, there might be more room for him to contribute offensively. Dave Roberts talked about it a little bit. He said, "I think it's really going to show itself without the shift this year," talking about Rojas, you know, offensively. And so not only getting to baseballs, but the ability to finish plays with arm strength and accuracy. You know, and we hear a lot of talk about the shift in terms of how it's going to impact offensively. And with a guy like Rojas, it might still impact offensively. He doesn't strike out much. He puts the ball in play. If you're putting the ball in play and, you know, defenders aren't where they normally are or not able to cover where you're more likely to hit it, then, you know, might help out there. But it also is defensively, he helps out because he, you know, and not, he's not the anti-shift, but he can make up for a lot of the deficiencies left by the shift with, you know, the ability to play defense. And Dave Roberts talked about it a little bit. He said, "I think it's really going to show itself without the shift this year." And so not only getting the baseballs, but the ability to finish plays with arm strength and accuracy, with the numbers as far as defensive war, whatever the statistics may be, he's going to be right at the top. He's a plus major league shortstop. So, yeah, like I said, we think about the shift offensively and how it affects teams, but defensively as well. And we talked about this with Miguel Vargas on the flip side. Like, you know, with the shift, a lot of guys played second base the last few years that maybe wouldn't have been able to play second base before. You know, Max Muncy being one of those guys, although we've seen Max Muncy be pretty athletic and, you know, turn himself into a pretty good second baseman. But without the shift now, you do need a little bit more range, and defense may become a little bit more of a priority. You know, some of these glove first shortstops might have a little bit more benefit. If we see, you know, obviously it could be a matter of we don't see any difference and offense will still be king. But if we do happen to see a difference or defense, you know, infield defense, at least up the middle, does become more of a thing, then guys like Miguel Rojas, you know, are going to be able to make a very good living doing that. And that's what it comes down to with Rojas is, you know, the defensive. We weren't sure what we're going to get offense or defensively out of Gavin Lux. We had an idea of what we could get out of him offensively, defensively. Not that we were, you know, maybe some people were. Not that it's an expectation that he wasn't going to be good defensively, but we've just seen, we've seen the bad throws, and, you know, we've seen the throw or his errors in the last, you know, last season. His errors just seem to always lead to runs, which wasn't always fun. But it's different this year in terms of what they have defensively at shortstop. Even at shortstop, you know, Trey Turner wasn't great defensively. Corey Seager wasn't great defensively. Manny Machado was the last time they had a great defensive shortstop. And even then, that was only for less than half a season. So it's going to, you know, feel different, look different. But Miguel Rojas, just what he's brought so far, what he's shown, and obviously it's still spring and it doesn't mean too much, but everything that he's been about helping Miguel Vargas when he got here, now, you know, having to take on a greater role and trying to give the Dodgers that sense of peace, that they'll be okay at shortstop. It made that deal that much better. And not, you know, not to talk about the trade specifically or, you know, call win loss. You know, a lot of people were upset with, you know, trading Jacob Amaya just for the simple fact that you're trading a guy with all his, you know, service time left for a veteran. The Dodgers did end up extending Rojas. So that, you know, made it a little bit better. With the Marlins, you know, there was a tweet, I forget, from one of the national beat writers. They, you know, basically how the Marlins realized that Amaya's bat wasn't ready for the big leagues and they had to go make a move for someone that could play shortstop, whatever. I don't remember who it was, but yeah, I mean, that's, you know, if the Dodgers would have been, didn't make that trade, Gavin Lux gets hurt, you know, is Jacob Amaya going to play shortstop even though he may not be able to hit? Was Chris Taylor going to become an everyday shortstop? Were they going to have to make a trade? You know, everything, I guess, kind of works out sometimes. And that Miguel Rojas trade is one of those things that kind of worked out. So, yeah, I mean, shout out to Miguel Rojas. He had a little bit more to say. He just said, you're always learning in this game. With as much information that you can collect and gather, you're going to be better in the long run. I'm trying to be a better player every single day. In this locker room, I'm seeing different ways to approach preparation. And it's really cool to see how everybody on their own get prepared for the same goal. So, you know, he can help out with preparation. He's getting helped out with preparation. And it seems like it's going to be a good thing for all parties involved. And like I said, if he can become at least league average offensively, it's going to be a big benefit to the Dodgers. So, all right, that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. Make sure to check out Locked On Fantasy Baseball for your second listen. They are trying to help you win your fantasy draft and your fantasy league this year with strategies from the fantasy draft. So go check them out, Locked On Fantasy Baseball. You can find us wherever you find podcasts and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. That's also how you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at SnyDog. I'm at Vince Amperio. DMs are open in all those accounts if you need to get a hold of us. You can also get a hold of us via email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com, or via voicemail text at 323-863-5625. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car, if you're at home, search your smart device, play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.